We're going back on. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ruth Wallaceff.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And actually now we're going to be having a conversation with Congressman Tom Suozzi, who is the third, who represents the 3rd Congressional District.
John, it's great to be here. Ruth, thanks so much for having me. Hello, Victoria, operating the technology here.
This really is an honor because Tom has been in politics for many years, has created a lot of things on Long Island, from the mayor, from county executive, and now in Congress. Of course, he's in Washington, which keeps him out of the area, so to speak. But the one thing I want to start this conversation with is his town halls. Because while he's out of sight a lot of the time.
I participated in a town hall
you
had on Wednesday night.
Oh, on the telephone one?
Yes, telephone.
You know,
and I thought it was great, and it was very interesting. And the time went so quickly.
Yeah.
Because it was so good. And I was very impressed with your knowledge on so many subjects.
Thank you, Ruth. I try to, first of all, I love my job. I'm very honored and humbled to be a congressperson. And one of the important things we do is we try to have a town hall every month. And we've had over a dozen town halls so far, both geographically in different neighborhoods. We've divided the district into 16 neighborhoods. I'm doing a town hall every single month. And then we've had some topical town halls as well, one for veterans, one for not-for-profits, and other ones. I can't remember them all now. But on Wednesday night, we had a telephone town hall.
Yes.
It was the first time I did it. 6,000 people were participating.
Really?
Yeah. And it's really amazing technology, and people can, you know, push *3 to ask a question or *6 to leave a message. And it was just really an amazing thing, and people really seemed to like it, and we had great participation. So,
how did you hear about it, Ruth?
I think I read about it or okay.
No. We called you at your house.
It was an email originally on the computer, I think.
No, we sent 40,000 messages to people's houses saying,
perhaps,
you know, please, you know, you're going to get called this time tomorrow night, and please, if you want to be on the call, stay on the phone, and if you don't want to be on the call, you can leave a message.
I stayed on the phone.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Oh, that's the way it worked. Okay.
You didn't get one of the calls that means,
John. No, I didn't.
Well,
no, that's why I was curious
about
it.
We figured you were trouble, maybe.
We don't want that guy on the phone. No, but that's tremendous because need to get to everybody.
You know, so many people, you know, right now this is a very interesting time in American political history, obviously. And people either,
for sure,
you know, there are people that like the president, and there are people that are terrified by the president. But regardless of where you fall in that spectrum, people are engaged. I've been involved in politics. I was Mayor Glenn Covin in 1994, and my father was involved in politics. My family was involved in politics. So I've always paid attention to politics. I have never, ever in my life seen people as engaged as they are right now. People are paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Because it's such a terrible time.
Well, whatever the reason is, everybody's paying attention, and that's good for America. Politics only works when people participate. One of the big problems we have in this country right now is how divided we are on partisan level. One of the reasons we're so divided is because of the 435 seats in the United States Congress, most of them, 390, let's say, out of 435, are safe seats. If you're a Democrat, you're going to win the Democratic seat. If you're a Republican, you're going to win the Republican seat. You can't lose because of the way the districts are drawn, called gerrymandering. And so how can it be that there's 15% approval rating for the United States Congress, but everybody gets reelected? There's something wrong. It's because of the way these seats are drawn. They're so safe that you're a guaranteed winner to get elected. Well, when
you're drawn on purpose.
So when you're in that type of seat, you can't lose the general election. The only way you can lose is lose a primary. And very few people vote in the primaries, and they're often from the base of the parties. For the Republicans, it's often to the far right. Democrats, often from the far left. And so what happens is the incumbent elected officials in these legislative seats at the United States Congress, certainly in the state legislature as well, are pulled to the extremes. The Republicans are trying to attract the far right. The Democrats are trying to attract the far left. And nobody's doing anything in the middle to actually solve the problems and get things done. It's the biggest problem we face in the country today. It's why we're so partisan. So I was one of only 26 members of Congress that signed what's called an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, to the United States Supreme Court for an argument on October 3rd before the United States Supreme Court to declare gerrymandering, partisan gerrymandering, unconstitutional. Now there's cases in that was for Wisconsin. Now there's a case in Maryland that was just held to say that their partisan gerrymandering is unconstitutional. There's something going on in North Carolina as well. If the Supreme Court rules that partisan gerrymandering is unconstitutional, it will dramatically change the country for the better.
Do you think the Supreme Court will rule that?
It's all up to Justice Kennedy. You know, you've got these factions in the court mm-hmm. now. They're half and half. Kennedy could go either way. There's a lot of foment right now. There's a lot of activity, a lot of cases going on, a lot of disputes at the state level of the federal courts. The Supreme Court has to decide when you have a disagreement among different federal courts what the right answer is. So I'm hoping and praying that this happens. It will be the greatest thing that happens to our country for political purposes in a long time. That's one of the big problems our country faces. I have other big problems we face, but I know you want to ask more questions.
Yeah, no, talking. No. It's not even a matter of asking questions. I mean, that 435 to 390, I didn't know that number. That's tremendous. I mean, and that's really what the issue is.
Well, think about it. Most of the seats are not competitive. You're in New York State, I'm the most competitive Democratic seat in the state of New York.
Okay.
I'm the number one targeted Democrat in New York State because my seat is what they call D plus one. Democratic has a 1-point advantage. Most seats are D plus 5 or 6 or 10 or 20. People win by 70% or 60%. My seat could go either way. So I've got a very competitive seat compared to, which is good for my constituents because it forces me to work hard, to be out there, to talk, listen to what everybody's saying, to try and solve problems.
And you do work hard. You work very hard.
I do. But I love it. I really love it. I mean, it's hard being away from my wife and our son Michael's at home. Caroline is volunteering in the middle of the Pacific. That's our daughter. She's 22 years old. She's volunteering on the island of Yap, 500 miles east of Guam.
What is her volunteer position?
She's at a Jesuit high school teaching for a year. So she's in the middle of nowhere, but it's really amazing experience she's having. And Joseph is 19. He's at college, up at Boston College. He just walked onto the Boston College baseball team. We're very proud of him, and he's doing well in school as well. And Michael's 14. He's a freshman in high school. So, you know, but being away from home is tough. John, you said in your opening remarks, you said, I'm not in the district as much as I'd like to be. I'm down in Washington all the time.
Right, right. You have to be.
You know, I live down in Washington, D.C. So you go back and forth. You know,
you must be a good packer.
I don't pack. I have a separate set of clothing down there and a separate set of clothing at home. Uh-huh. And I do my dry cleaning down there, you know, get my shirts done and my laundry, and I do my stuff at home. I don't do it. My wife actually does it. Thank you, honey.
Well, that's one of the toughest things with these jobs. You know, if you're just going to work and you have to drive, you know, 3 or 4 miles in the morning, say from the county executive, that's one thing. But you do sacrifice.
Well, I can't
complain
because I mean I think of these guys. I've got one of my roommates is from California, Jimmy Panetta. He's Leon Panetta's son. He's a freshman congressman.
Oh, really?
He's
got
to go back to California every weekend. Now, can you imagine that 3-hour time difference, 5 hours to get home? He's got to drive from the airport to get back home. I mean, that's. You know, a lot of people, and that's California. Think if you're going to, like, you know, these guys who go to Alabama or
right,
something,
right,
you know, you got to drive these long distances to get back upstate New York even.
Well, so, just stay on the personal for a bit. You're down there, what, from Monday through Friday or no? You can get out of there on Thursday or?
Sometimes you go down on Monday. Sometimes you go down on Tuesday. Sometimes you come home on Thursday. Sometimes you come home on Friday.
Okay.
Sometimes you're there Monday to Friday. Sometimes you're there Monday to Thursday. Sometimes you're there Tuesday to Friday. So it changes. You know, I was supposed to.
You have a quasi schedule? Like, would you know, like, in February what you're doing or not necessarily?
They set out a schedule. No, they send out a schedule. We know the schedule when you're in district and when you're not in district. But it books up. Everything books up. I've had 105,000 people contact my office in the 1 year I've been in office. 105,000 people. I always have hundreds of outstanding meeting requests. Always. So I get up when I'm in Washington at 6 o'clock in the morning. I work out at 6:30. My first meeting is often at 8 or 9, and you go to like 10 o'clock at night. And you're always going, 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 going. So you have to decide where are you going to spend your time. So I have to spend my time on the committees I've been assigned to. I'm on the Foreign Affairs Committee, mm-hmm. which is great. and on the Armed Services Committee, which is also great. I've learned so much. I meet the generals. I went to Afghanistan. I met the troops. I talked to the diplomats. I went to Israel. I went to, you know, Kuwait and Jordan and the UAE on one of those trips. I went to Guantanamo. I went to South Korea for Thanksgiving to visit the troops for Thanksgiving. But you talk to these, you know, I've met Secretary Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, General Mattis. I've met, you know, you talk to these people and you realize this is serious business. This
Absolutely.
Is life and
Absolutely.
Death business. And whether it's foreign affairs or it's health care or it's immigration or it's tax, this is serious business. And politics has gotten so small and so petty and so cynical. And everybody's like, everything stinks. And nobody's any good. And everybody's a bum. We have got to. Important responsibility. When I say we, I don't mean just the politicians. I mean everybody. We've got to lift up the conversation and recognize that we have sent people to other countries to die on our behalf as soldiers because of what? Freedom and democracy. Well, what is that? That's politics and government. We've got to stop letting it become so small and so petty and so cynical, and we've got to lift up the conversation. I mean, some of the president's comments sometimes in his tweets do not help in doing that. Because it makes it small and base. We've got to lift up the conversation. When we're talking to our friends at barbecues and at family parties, you know, family members, and, you know, we've got to – this is serious stuff. We need people to participate. That's why one positive thing, as I said earlier. But we need to elevate the conversation and talk about how to solve these very complicated problems.
Now, how do you
Ruth,
achieve?
I'm going to ask you to hold for 1 second.
Okay.
I'm going to take a break,
sure.
And then we'll come back with that.
Okay.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.